Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I'm hoping that you're being excited over the fact that Christmas is coming. I want to talk today about what if God were Scrooge? I mean, bah humbug. Have you stopped to consider what an awesome story the real Christmas story is that tells us how God worked out all the details so that Jesus could be born at the right time, in the right place, under the right circumstances? God used pagan rulers and pagan governments to fulfill his prophecies. Talk about moving heaven and earth to accomplish his will. Let's look again at the miraculous account that Luke gives us. In Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20, it says, "At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them." You know, when you think about it, you can't find anything more exciting than that. God, the creator, the ruler of the universe, decided to become entwined in man's need of a savior. When people find that savior, their lives are changed completely. Today, I want to talk about a bitter old man whose life was changed because of Christmas. Charles Dickens wrote a story called A Christmas Carol. It's my favorite secular Christmas story. I enjoy old Scrooge stomping through Christmas, shouting, "Bah, humbug." There's a grain elevator between Hermiston, Oregon, and Boardman, Oregon, that every year puts a lighted sign on top of their huge grain bin that says, "Bah, humbug." Scrooge is selfish, mean, uncaring, stingy, completely unfair to his employee, poor old Bob Cratchit. I enjoy how Scrooge changed after his rough night. The story doesn't indicate that Scrooge found salvation, but something very similar happened. I got to thinking, what if God were like Ebenezer Scrooge, stomping through the heavens without his blessings from us, withholding his blessings from us? What if every time we asked for something, he'd answer, "Bah, humbug"? Well, don't worry, he doesn't. In fact, God is so into Christmas, he sent Jesus to rescue us from sin and give us eternal life. What a wonderful Christmas gift God has given us, a gift to satisfy every longing for now and for throughout eternity. I heard about two boys who stayed overnight with their grandma they were getting ready for bed, and they were saying their bedtime prayers, and the youngest one prayed at the top of his voice, "I pray for a Thomas the Tank Engine train set. I pray for an electric scooter. I pray for a Spider-Man action figure." His brother whispered, "Why are you shouting? God isn't deaf." Little brother said, "No, but Grandma is." You know, we have traditions that make Christmas seem more like Christmas. To me, it included snow and cold, dreary weather. It was so unique when we moved to Phoenix the first time and tried to celebrate Christmas in the malls and the sunshine. I remember our first Christmas dinner was on our patio with a temperature nearly 80 degrees. I even went swimming that Christmas day. For me, Christmas lacked something without Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge was a mean, intimidating old man who lived to make money. He had no patience for religion or sentimentality, especially Christmas. One Christmas Eve, Ebenezer got a terrifying wake-up call. His dead business partner, Jacob Marley, visited him. Marley had been a miser just like Scrooge. He'd been condemned to roam the earth, tormented by the values he neglected in life, condemned to drag long chains that he'd forged in life. He warned Scrooge to avoid the same fate. This was Scrooge's last opportunity to turn from his selfish, greedy ways, to turn his materialistic, money-making business and make humanity his business. Marley warned Scrooge he would be visited by three ghosts that night, the ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. This was Scrooge's second chance. The real Christmas story is about God giving humanity a second chance after Adam and Eve blew their first chance. Let's explore the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future to rediscover the God of second chances. The ghost of Christmas past took Scrooge back through time to confront him with the pain and agony of the Christmases gone by. Scrooge saw a schoolroom. A little boy sat alone by the fire. His only companion was the book that he was reading. Scrooge remembered his rejection because his father blamed him for his mother's death while giving him birth. Scrooge remembered all the Christmases when other children went home. He was left alone. He remembered his loneliness and pain. He longed for friends and love and acceptance by his family. The spirit wished him to see his former fiancée, Belle, a woman he loved but who became a poor second to his passion for wealth. "A golden idol displaces me," she complained to him from the past. As they traveled from Christmas to Christmas, Scrooge was faced with his broken relationships, rejection, and loneliness. You know, most of us have Christmases we'd rather forget. Thousands of people are like Scrooge, finding it hard to celebrate Christmas because of failed relationships in the past, because of painful memories and broken families and broken friendships and too much pain and loss, too much rejection. Yet Christmas is a time of hope and joy, a time of reconciliation. There's a Christmas past that echoes through the pages of history whose timeless message haunts every Christmas present. If we travel back to revisit that first Christmas 2,000 years ago and gaze at little Jesus lying in a manger, our Christmas fears and disappointments would vanish and we would find hope. The night Jesus was born, an angel announced to the shepherds that a Savior had been born. Good news for all people, young, old, rich, poor, Jews and Gentiles, you and me. God took on flesh and stepped into history to save us from the consequences of sin. His birth can wipe our past clean, our pain, sorrows, rejection, broken relationships, hurts are all wrapped up in his love for us. And it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the promise of Christmas past. That's the hope that God of second chances gives us. Then came the ghost, after the ghost of Christmas past left, the ghost of Christmas present came to visit Scrooge. And it's obvious Scrooge was a product of his history, his Christmases that had gone by. The second spirit, the ghost of Christmas present, showed Scrooge what his life was like now. He saw the home of his employee, Bob Cratchit, where despite poverty, the home was filled with joy, compassion, and love. As the Cratchits sit down for their humble Christmas dinner, Bob Cratchit toasts his greedy, selfish, miserly boss, the one responsible for his poverty. Scrooge asks, "Who is the little crippled boy?" And he was told by the spirit, "That's Tiny Tim." Scrooge was shown the home of his nephew, the only one with any affection for Scrooge, even though his affection was totally unwarranted. For years, his nephew had invited Scrooge to share Christmas with him and with his wife and family. For years, Scrooge rejected his invitation. Still, the nephew invited. The ghost of Christmas present revealed that what Scrooge had become. His calloused heart, how he ignored poverty and needs of those around him, his disregard and disdain for humanity. He tried to justify himself by the money that he'd earned and his success, but in things that really mattered, it was nothing. He had nothing. The ghost of Christmas present showed him, even though he's utterly hard-headed, bitter, and twisted, seemingly beyond redemption, others still loved him and hadn't given up on him. That's the promise of Christmas present. Every Christmas, we are reminded, no matter how bad, selfish, greedy, rebellious, or how we reject him, God loves us and never gives up on us. Christmas is supposed to be a time of love, joy, peace, goodwill. Scrooge was so self-centered and bitter, he'd completely lost sight of that. You know, we often fall into the same trap, neglecting what's important and seeing money and what money can buy as the matter of, as the answer to our problems. If we're not careful, the Scrooge spirit can hijack our Christmas, turning our celebration into materialism and totally missing God's purpose. Christ Mass is exactly what it says, a holy celebration of Christ. Christmas stopped being about Christ a long time ago. Now it's self-indulgence, extravagance, materialism, money, about me and mine. One of the big phrases used in advertising is, "You deserve it." The real Christmas story is just the opposite. Christmas is about Christ, who left his riches and glory to be born in a stable, laid in a manger, and wrapped in swaddling clothes. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. And that's certainly of a Christmas present that has been given to us. Well, the final spirit, the ghost of Christmas future, came. He had no face. He didn't speak. He merely took Scrooge back to the Cratchit family, now worn down by their struggle against poverty, and now without Tiny Tim, who had died for lack of proper medical care. Then the spirit took Scrooge to the house of a man who had died in his sleep. Scrooge kept asking, "Who is it? Who is it?" A maid and a cleaner were dividing his belongings before the undertaker arrived. Two men in the street were discussing whether to hold a funeral service, since no one would bother to come. Again, Scrooge asked, "Who is this man?" The spirit led him to a grave. The headstone read, "Ebenezer Scrooge." It's a chilling reminder that no one lives forever. Life is brief. 1 Chronicles 29:15 says, "We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in a land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace." Well, suddenly Scrooge understood he had to change. It was now or never. He'd been a penny-pinching, mean, hateful, self-centered old miser. No one wanted anything to do with him. His own family hated him. All he had worked for would be stolen, even the curtains from his bed. No one would attend his funeral. No one even cared he had died. He would die miserable and alone. His life would count for nothing. You know, maybe you relate, but the promise of Christmas past and certainly of Christmas present means your Christmas future isn't written yet. Jesus can transform you and make you a new creation. He can take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The best news of Christmas is we can learn from the past and change our present so we'll have a better future. What happened in your past doesn't need to defeat you because God came as a baby to give you a better future. To Scrooge, the ghost of Christmas future was the most frightening. We fear the future because we're frightened of the unknown. When we remember that first Christmas when God was born as a baby, we can look forward to the most wonderful Christmas in the future when Jesus Christ will come again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever." One day, Christ will come take his people home. That's the hope of the Christian future. At the heart of the Christmas carol lies Scrooge's transformation. Through his encounter with Christmas past, present, and future, old Scrooge changed from a selfish, greedy, bitter old man to a grateful, generous, compassionate man. He was confronted by the reality of who he was and where he was headed. He responded by repenting and changing his ways and his destiny. Sounds like a conversion to me. Jesus invites you to do the same. He is waiting to forgive your sins and make you part of his family, anticipating the wonders we can't even imagine waiting for us in heaven. What better time than Christmas to receive Jesus Christ's forgiveness, to renew your faith and rebuild your friendships? There's a Scrooge side in all of us that needs repentance. The good news is Christmas is when we can forget the past, change the now, and build a better future. It's not too late to change. Philippians 3:13-14 says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." Whatever has happened in your past, you can have a better future. Scrooge sees the opportunity to make his life count. I doubt the ghost of Christmas will visit you, but you will be visited by God's Holy Spirit this Christmas and every Christmas because God never stops reaching out to you. The Holy Spirit points to the only path for a second chance, for a new life. Jesus isn't just one of many paths to heaven. He's the only path. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Invite him into your life. He's invited you to accept his salvation. He's not Scrooge. He will meet your needs, and he will never say bah humbug. Father, I just pray that you help each one of us to realize the true significance of Christmas, how you loved us so much, and you saw how lost we were, that you sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior and lead us home to be with you. I would ask God for each one that's listening today, if there's some that don't know you as their personal Savior, this would be the day they would confess their sins to you, ask you to come into their heart and into their life. Father, I pray for the ones that do know you, that they'll stop and realize what a blessing it is that you gave us Christmas, and they will have a blessed Christmas as they worship you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, by the way, I will be preaching tomorrow at the First Baptist Church on the corner of First Avenue and Buffalo. I'm going to be talking about why was Jesus born in a cow shed. And I would invite you to come. I think it'll be great. We have Sunday school at 10 o'clock. Morning worship is 11 o'clock. And then Sunday night, we have a 6 o'clock Bible study. And I would invite you to come to all of that. I know that you would be welcome. And the people would love to meet you and see you. If you want to get in touch with me, remember my address is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 602, I forgot the zip code. Anyhow, Sun Valley, Arizona, and you can text me at 623-845-2741, and you can also call me on the phone at 623-845-2731. 623-845-2741. All right, my zip code that I forgot, got to be an old man, remember, 82, 86029. That's Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. All right.